The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, January 20th, and we're getting closer to the divisional games because this weekend on CBS, the NFL divisional round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live begins Saturday at 4:30 Eastern with Joe Burrow and the Red Hot Bengals headed to Tennessee for a meeting with the top-seeded Titans. Then on Sunday at 6:30 Eastern, it's a highly anticipated rematch for the ages when Josh Allen and the unstoppable Bills offense take on the equally unstoppable Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We'll get you set for both games on the NFL Today, the NFL Divisional Round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live this weekend on CBS. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe and turn on alerts. You'll be alerted when we go live. We go live basically after every playoff game. So we'll be, or playoff, set of playoff games. Hit that five-star rating if you're listening on Spotify. Joining us to go over some coaching news, one, the only, Josina Anderson. Josina, what's up?
Well, Will, you know, I was going to put back on my red suit that I had on from my HQ hit. And then I decided, you know what? No, I'm comfortable. This is why I'm talking to Will. So I don't feel like doing it. So hopefully on your pod, you're welcoming me with my my juicy
couture.
This is vintage, back in the day, reminiscent of a little J-Lo type thing. You know what I'm saying? So
Hey, look. You, it's very, very apparent on that this podcast is casual. I hope that is obvious. I'm wearing a
knit cap indoors.
It's very cold in my office.
Okay. This explains the knit cap indoors. Yeah.
Also, I don't have central heater air up because it's like an above garage apartment type thing.
Or you didn't pay your heating bill.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah. Yeah. I have like a gas fireplace that I could turn on, but it gets it where it's like almost like too hot in here. I like to kind of bundle up in the winter for the playoff games.
So what does your wife think about you wearing the knit cap indoors?
She makes fun of me all the time. But I'll wear it like downstairs in the house, like just in like 70 degree warmth. Like I'll just be walking around it. I think she's moved past it, honestly.
I mean, clearly you're so used to this. Like you don't even really notice the fact that you're doing this podcast with the knit cap indoors.
That is correct. I do not flinch when it comes to wearing a knit cap indoors.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to the business. Nobody cares about my fashion, but they do care about the NFL coaching carousel. We have eight. It looks like we're probably going to have eight openings. Rich Bisaccia has interviewed for the Raiders job. And by the way, we said, this will probably be a slow carousel. Nope. You still get a third of the league turns over no matter how many people get hired each year. It's amazing.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Will, because at the time when everyone was focusing on the Jaguars and the Raiders, obviously the two ones that had the vacancies during the regular season, NFL source that I speak to, who's been in the league, dealing with the league for over two decades, talks to all of these various owners. Right. And I said this on HQ, like 3 weeks or so before the end of the season, he said there will be the same number of openings, anywhere from six to eight, going into the season. And he also said, you remember, you know, like we look at this, like you know, none of us are millionaires or billionaires, or I don't know, Will, if you're hiding any money in the Cayman Islands, whatever. I am not a two comma person.
I am also not a two. No, I'm married with a child. I'm not a two comma person. Although I am going to the Cayman Islands in a few months. If that.
Oh, are you really?
Not to pick up a mysterious stash of money.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We don't want it to be that one.
As far as you or any federal
agency. What is that movie with Gene Hackman and
The Firm.
Tom Cruise? There you go. Yeah, so I don't know if you're going to the Cayman Islands to do anything like that.
No.
There you go. But anyway, so he said to me that these owners don't, you know, flinch when it comes to the fact that they're billionaires. If they want to make a change, you know, what they can, the money that they have to spend to do these and pay out coaches is still relatively couch money. So he was still on the money with respect to the number of vacancies. But really, even I would say, Will, as a reporter covering these, I was just telling this to my Texan source and whoever I was talking to just leading up into the show. And I was just like, it's too much. It's too much right now. There's too many interviews. Is, you know, whatever. I was basically like, everybody just talk to me when you're down to the finalists, because it's almost too much to keep up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
even the general managers on top. And then on top of that, the teams that are also interviewing general managers going around to the second round. You've got the Giants supposedly down to, you know, Ryan Poles and Schoen and what have you. We'll see what the Vikings do. And interestingly enough, yesterday, just to add this in here before you, interject here, but, you know, somebody, I won't say the coach's name, and maybe I'll tweet this out, but, you know, someone was telling me that, you know, there's a candidate out there who would prefer to be paired with Dorsey. And I thought that that was very interesting, because I don't know if I brought this up with you last week. I was just like, huh, you know, the one thing that's very interesting with all of these candidates is that none of them have been general managers before.
Right.
And so while like a team like the Giants is looking for a clear direction moving forward after Dave Gettleman and Judge, you know, it's interesting still that the organization is going to go into the hands of somebody who still hasn't done it before. And I can understand why this coach would like to be paired with Dorsey, because say what you want with regards to the Cleveland Browns, when you look at his draft record and the talent that he has brought into the various teams that he's worked with, you can't argue with that.
Oh, I mean, Dorsey, you know, things didn't end well in Cleveland, and he, you know, things didn't really end well in Kansas City, but Dorsey secures talent. I mean, the Browns built their foundation. You know, he did draft Baker, which, you know, I guess is anyway.
No. I still, going back then, I don't have a problem with Baker relative to the talent and all the things that were said at the time. And I still like is Moxie. That's a whole, you know, different conversation, but all in all, you know, he's a strong when it comes to bringing in the talent and assessing the talent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. So just looking around, no, I mean, I agree with you completely, but, so looking at, is it a veteran coach who wants to be paired with Dorsey or a new guy?
No, veteran coach.
Okay. Yeah.
You would have the mindset to
look think for about Dorsey.
That.
Yeah, right.
And some of these teams and where that's coming from, just to illuminate that a little bit, is that some of these teams are obviously asking their preferences. It doesn't mean that they'll go in that direction. It doesn't necessarily mean this, you know, person will get hired or not. We'll see. And we can have that conversation too, where you're hearing certain names of people associated with teams, whether you agree with that or not, or just based on kind of the matchmaking game, connection, who was our guy back in the day, the 2-2 who did that, you know, who was that? We'll be back in 2-2 with the love connection. Chuck Woolery or whatever his name
Woolery,
was.
That's it. Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. Yeah. There you go. Right. You know, we've been playing that, you know, who do we think will get picked? But, you know, who would you match with, you know, the teams that are open is basically what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Let's look at Denver really quick, because I think that's an interesting job with the ownership change coming at some point. We know that they've already interviewed Jonathan Gannon, Luke Getsy, Aaron Glenn, Nathaniel Hackett. I think we talked about this, right? The two Packers guys are on the list, which, you know, makes sense from if Rodgers is going to bounce, we'd like to know. Gerard Mayo, Kellen Moore, and Dan Quinn. So multiple Cowboys, multiple Packers in terms of their interviewees. And they've also requested Eric Bieniemy, Brian Callahan, and Kevin O'Connell. Have you heard anything?
I'm saying, Will, it's too many names. Oh, my God. You just named like half the coaches in the NFL. Go ahead.
I mean, it is actually 8 interviews and then 3 more requests. I mean, that's 11 interviews. Like, if I get that it's good that you want to hear from as many people
as possible. No, you should be thorough, but from a reporting standpoint,
didn't you have an idea of who you might want to hire? Like, didn't you have I feel like you have a short list and that's how you do it, but maybe.
Well, part of it is intel gathering. Part of it is, you know, for future things. And so it's not that I have a problem with it being thorough. All I'm saying is from a reporting standpoint, talk to me at the second round and after, because this first round is just like, it's almost like with the field of 64 with March Madness. It's just too much right now.
It's like a spray and pray type of thing where they're just trying to get as many, you know, guys in the building as they can. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think their sort of direction is? They have a GM in place in George Payton. He was in Minnesota when they hired Mike Zimmer. I don't know that necessarily gives any real indication as to what he might do in terms of hiring his own guy, but it does seem like he's trying both sides. I mean, Jonathan Gannon, you know, Mayo, we're talking about defensive guys and Dan Quinn, of course, and then several offensive guys as well. Do you have a sense on how that search is sort of going?
So I have talked to a source who went through one of those interviews and just talking to, you know, some people around the situation. And one of the things that they told me that stuck out to them, even though it is somewhat of a football cliche, is that
leader of men
that they are looking, and it did, and that they're not necessarily offense oriented or defense oriented. And this person came away very, very impressed with the general manager, George Payton, not Patton, even though it looks like Patton. I have to keep telling myself that even when I say it, because I can't say it how it looks. And so that was that. But obviously there's been a lot of talk as far as the Broncos and their affinity, for Dan Quinn. A lot of people think that this is the way that it's going to go. We'll allow the Broncos to get through the entire process. Obviously it is hard to not notice the way in which Dan Quinn helped to really galvanize the Cowboys defense, the energy that he has. And it kind of reminds me similar to Robert Saleh when he was just constantly taking photographs of on the sidelines. So that it's kind of the same
Quinn
thing.
Dan Quinn was getting the camera love every week. Back of the bat out of there, like, you know, chilling it up in the box.
Should we, as media people, should we get a stipend, you know, when that happens, you know? Like, basically we help you get the job.
Dan, you owe CBS or I guess Fox, because it's the Cowboys.
I was just saying, all that camera time, you know, and then you get the job or whatever. So these are the things that you hear. But here again, with the defensive candidates, they still have to come into this interview with a strong plan as to what they're going to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
And from Dan Quinn, I'm sure he had to go into that interview explaining what is it that he has learned since his time with the Atlanta Falcons, subsequently firing all three coordinators, and what he was very vocal about at the outset of him taking the job with the Dallas Cowboys, which was all the self-evaluation, self-scouting he did of himself, coaching, you know, to really and asking other people around the league what they thought of his coaching and certain things like that, and using all that intel in terms of how he was able to corral the Cowboys defense. So I would not be surprised there. But again, with all of the teams that have a very huge question mark at quarterback, it's not just about being a rah-rah and, you know, galvanizing that defense. You know, the offense is not the one, the defense rather is not the one throwing the ball.
Right. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be that difficult to get, you know, to make the Broncos defense be effective. I mean, like, that's, I feel like anybody can do that. It's figuring out how to handle this offensive situation and where to find a quarterback, you know, what your options are. And, you know, certainly if they thought that they could be in on Aaron Rodgers, that's why they're, you know, Nathaniel Hackett makes a lot of sense, because if Aaron Rodgers does decide he wants to leave Green Bay, and I don't think he will, but, you know, things could certainly change on the fly, you know, depending on, you know, what happens this weekend in the playoff games, then, you know, having a comfort level somewhere else would be kind of paramount for that.
It definitely helps, but at the same time, you know, you have to weigh both sides of the ball are important. So if you can't have Dan Quinn and Hackett.
Right.
Is there a way, because Aaron Rodgers is such a quote unquote controller of the offense, you know, if I'm A-Rod, I'm thinking, okay, is there, and I was thinking about flirting over here with the possibility of going to Green Bay. would there be a way to get DQ or someone, you know, who has this prowess on defense and somebody out there, you know, on offense, you know, from a coordinating standpoint that would make you feel, you know, comfortable. And obviously one of the names that are rolling out there too is what's going on with Pep Hamilton and all these other things. People wondering, you know, why isn't he getting bumped up to the offensive coordinator level or head coach just based on the clear results that keep happening with the places that he goes. You know what I mean? That's right, another conversation sure. in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Is it weird to you that the Bears and Giants, you know, they're like, we hire a general manager and that general manager hires the coach and then the coach reports to the general manager.
Is that how they sound? Is that how Mara sounds? Okay.
That's
your Mara impression? Or
No. Mara okay. be like,
so we're going to.
that was my George McCaskey impression.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Okay. I wasn't clear. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, no breaking news again.
No breaking news this week. No breaking news. Okay. You don't even want to know. It's stupid.
Okay.
It involves a golf ball and water. Is it surprising to you that they're, I mean, it seems a little counterintuitive that they interview the coaches and the before they do the GM process, but I guess maybe they want to narrow down their list or get comfortable with some of the candidates. I always feel like, you know, when they tell the fans, like, here's how we're going to do it. And then they go out and do something different. It's like, you've already found some coaches you like. You're now going to foist these coaches onto this GM or you're going to find a GM who likes the coaches you already like. It seems like the process.
Well, a lot of it is information gathering, what people are comfortable with. Can the organization be comfortable with it too? And at the same time, at least in the Giants example, they're in the midst of trying to, you know, shed their whole skin with how they've been doing things in the past, right? And get themselves comfortable with going out of the organization or going away from the people that they have typically felt comfortable with or that their evaluation process has led to the Ben McAdoos, the Pat Shermers, the Joe Judge, you know. So what is it about that they like those candidates and are a part of that process that they, one, need to change? And it is very hard to just wait and be completely tunnel visioned on hiring a GM while all these like 900 NFL teams are in the midst of trying to hurry up and grab a coach and you're behind, which is why, Will, you and I talked about this last week. You know, that's why it never made sense with the whole thing with Joe Judge. I mean, you see, as you can see, this stuff takes time, particularly when you're actually trying to do it right.
Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, you got to, it is a lengthy process and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to sort through 11 different candidates or whatever. So any buzz on other, do we think any teams are close? And are you surprised that nobody's made a formal hire yet?
With the Texans, and for example, I know that they spoke to Flores, Hines Ward, Lombardi, Jonathan Gannon, and the OC from the Cowboys is supposed to be coming.
Kellen Moore.
At the end of this or what have you. And so what I was told just a couple of days ago that they're going to, you know, kind of pause and slow down a little bit, allow the games to happen this weekend and kind of go back into it. I mean, just looking at these names, I think it's pretty, you know, clear that they want, you know, Brian Flores. That's what it looks like just when I'm looking at the list of who they've interviewed so far. Obviously, they're still going to, you know, I think talk to Mayo and Quinn. I believe they have plans to do that. But it seems like that's the direction that they, you know,
the Hines Ward and the Lombardi interviews were like, it was like, what? Like, you did what? They seem like they're like, we gotta up our interview numbers so people don't think we just zeroed in on Brian Flores. Who will take an interview knowing that we were gonna hire Flores anyway? I know, Hines Ward. That's
like, I'm not saying that for the people out there. You know, I'm gonna allow you, you do your color and all that other stuff. But here's the thing. I think the better question is, will Flores take this job? And is it the best situation for him, especially coming out of what happened in Miami, right? So when you're on your, I'm going to come over there in a second. Sorry, talking to my dog. Wait a minute. When you're on your second stint, okay? You have to be very mindful of the perception that's going to emanate from that second stint relative to what people think of you as a head coach. So if this doesn't go right for Brian Flores, you know, it, you know, could taint the perception of him as a head coach. So he has to be very careful. So if you're Flores, Will, do you, I think, what, does he have another interview with the Giants, I believe? Or who else is the other team?
I mean, the bottom line is, if you're Flores and you take the Texans job, yes, you have some familiarity and comfort with Nick Caserio, who they've spoken highly of each other, and then Jack Easterby too. But, you know, you just got fired three years into, you know, a successful run in Miami. There's nothing to say that you can't be fired if the Texans stink for 3 years, and the Texans might stink for 3 years. And it doesn't sound like Deshaun Watson would be enticed.
Oh, and let me clarify that for you real quickly. Yeah. All right. So for those of people out there, and I haven't even had a chance to tweet about this, whatever, because I don't, whatever, but I'm on your show, so we'll talk about it. So the Brian Flores thing and the Watson thing. All right. From my understanding, there's not like this ongoing relationship and need to be tied or what have you. Right. Like, and Watson's situation with the Texans was never about the coach, Cully, or what have you. It's not about that. So
about the owner.
Just take away the whole, you know, connection of Watson wants to go with Flores, and that's why he's coming to the Dolphins. I was just told a few days ago, nix all of that. That has nothing to do with anything. So all of that is separate. And of course, Watson, to my understanding, is his situation relative to wanting out of Houston has not changed.
Gotcha. And that's important because, you know, if Flores is thinking about taking the Texans job, and I don't know what else you would do if you're Flores. Like, you've got to, I mean, you could wait and be, you could try and see if Belichick will have you back in New England. If you don't think you could sit out a year, if you don't think the Texans job is the right one to have, I don't think you should definitely take it. Like, if you don't think you can win, you know, or win, you know, or start to turn the Texans around, then I think you have to be careful about it because, you know, with the way that things go in the NFL, it's entirely possible that in 3 years, Cal McNair clears house, you know, and gets rid of everybody. And then you're gone too. And like you say, the perception after that second job, you get fired from that, it becomes very, very difficult to flip it around. All right.
Really, before you take that break, is that I just want to say, you know, so he has to weigh his options, you know, carefully. And just because there's a high affinity for him in Houston, and that's great. I mean, on one hand, you know, when the bar is low relative to the amount of wins that a team is just coming off of, theoretically, that amounts to having more leash in terms of time to turn over the season and longevity for the coach. But at the same time, as we all know, the patience in the NFL still starts off long and then it can get short relative to the talk around the team, how the fans are reacting. So if there's an opportunity there, potentially with the Bears or the Giants or what have you, comparing that situation to what you've got in Houston. And the only thing too with the Giants is what I say about that opportunity that I've been saying is that the offense with the Giants is still very concerning for me in terms of what the plan is there.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Jones, Saquon not being Saquon so far, and even having that Achilles injury to Sterling Shepard and guys like that.
Yep. No, I mean, it's both those jobs, New York and Houston are, you know, you are not easy.
Need
jobs.
Work. They need work. Need
a lot of work. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the Broncos, you find a quarterback and you plug him in and it works. I know that's easier said than done. But yeah, I mean, it's the Texans and the Giants jobs are not good.
Tougher.
Yes. The uphill battles. You're fighting up about it. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, what coaching candidates who are still in the playoffs have the best chances to get hired next?
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
World of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!
So there are lots of coaching candidates still remaining in the postseason. Of the group, like Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, Nathaniel Hackett, we mentioned Brian Callahan, Mike McDaniel, who's white hot now because of his goofy little press conferences. D'Amico Ryans, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Daboll, Eric Bieniemy, just to name a few. Justina, what coaching candidates stand that are still in the postseason, whose teams are still playing, stand out to you? Obviously, these guys aren't, this isn't like Brian Kelly bolting Notre Dame in the middle of the season. These guys aren't leaving the playoffs to go take a new job. They're going to coach with their team. So that's why maybe we've seen a little bit slower of a process because of all the coaches, right?
Well, yes. And you have to wait for them to get through their games, the playoffs and the other thing. But here's one thing that I want to kind of put on people's, not necessarily news, but what I think could be an interesting thing if the 49ers win. If D'Amico Ryans' defense does really well against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, this is someone's stock who could just, go up, not maybe exponentially, but definitively after that game. D'Amico Ryans has been doing a really great job with that 49ers defense. Mm-hmm. They play with a lot of energy, kind of similar to what you saw with his predecessor and Robert Saleh. And not only that, but they play with this physicality, and that could really be on display in this game against Aaron Rodgers, particularly if you go back to the Packers game against the Browns, where the Browns almost beat Green Bay, should have beat Green Bay if it hadn't been for, I can go pull up that box score, however many mistakes by Baker Mayfield in that game, but a good blueprint for what, could be successful against that team. So I think that is one to watch that could further add more of a monkey wrench to all of these hirings and decisions that have to be done by these various teams. And I just think, what's going to go on with the Raiders? What's going to go on with Harbaugh? A lot of people still want to connect them to Las Vegas and, Todd Bowles, is Eberflus, with Chicago, or Brian Flores going to be able to, come in there with Chicago. So many different things to watch. And I think it's very interesting that even out of all of these conversations that, Josh McDaniel's name is not involved in any of them.
Yeah.
And then also Bieniemy, I think, just is connected to the one job in Denver as far as the interview. So very interesting in terms of what names are getting called, what names are not. Some people have their opinions about the offensive coordinator in Dallas getting all these various interviews, especially after that last play in the game. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
I am surprised that people are that high on Kellen Moore. And I understand why people, it's sort of the Sean McVay factor, right? Like,
everyone still keeps looking for the next Sean McVay, right?
It's a young, up and coming offensive coordinator, bright minded, explosive offense, blah, 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 blah. But mm-hmm. It is weird. I haven't been easy on Mike McCarthy at all, but is everything, is everything just going to be Mike McCarthy's fault and like all the good plays are Kellen Moore's plays? Because that seems a little, that's a little unfair relative to, relative to what, how do we decide who gets what, who gets blamed for what? Mike McCarthy definitely deserves blame. Don't get me wrong, but Kellen Moore, it's Kellen Moore's offense too. It's not just Mike McCarthy.
But let me ask you this, Will. If Jerry Jones, and he has said that Mike McCarthy is still his guy, mm-hmm. if Mike McCarthy were not going to be the head coach of that team, and all of a sudden the owner said, okay, we changed our mind, just kidding, would you be comfortable handing over the head coaching job from the Dallas Cowboys to Kellen?
I wouldn't, but I think Jerry Jones would.
I think that's the question. Would he even get his own vacancy?
Well, the thing is with Kellen Moore, Jerry Jones is obsessed with, he has like a major FOMO when it comes to like anybody he finds, like Tony Romo, Dak Prescott, Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore. Like he, even if he accidentally stumbled into all these guys, he believes, he's like, oh, I found this talent. Like my genius brain allowed me to discover these brilliant people. Like I got to keep them around. I think he would be, if Kellen Moore got offered the Broncos head coaching job, I think Jerry would be petrified at the idea of losing him and him doing really well somewhere else, and might still consider firing Mike McCarthy. And the same thing might go with Dan Quinn. I mean, also, you have to wonder, how is Mike McCarthy going to be if he loses both his coordinators this offseason? That's tough. That's tough for any coach. But it's like the Dallas defense regresses because Dan Quinn bolts and, you know, like, you know, bringing in a Mike Nolan type. I mean, that's, it's not going to work. Like, that's, so I just think there, I think that is still very much in play. I don't necessarily think that we can definitively say, okay, you know, Jerry is, you know, Jerry is locked into Mike McCarthy.
Well, and the other thing too is, and there's so many different layers and topics to this conversation. And we talked about the coaches that have the energy and the favoritism from the media with how they're showed. And then you have some of the coaches who have the personalities that are more quiet and they're not as, you know, out there with their personalities, whether it be the Leslie Frazier or the Jim Caldwells or what have you, or even Brian Daboll to a certain extent. You don't really, you know, see him
Byron
like Lef- that.
Byron Leftwich to a degree. I mean, you know.
You know, so. And this is what we get caught up in sometimes when you're making hires. And then next thing you know, you're giving these coaches 5-year contracts. You fire them after 2 years. You owe them $15 million. And you keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again. Right. So maybe
Todd Bowles, another guy who's like very quiet.
Very quiet. So what are you looking for? Did we just lose Will? Are you looking for a coach that is magnetic and charismatic? Or are you looking for one that is giving you results? Or can you get it in the same combination? That's all. There you go. There you back.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know. My browser didn't even crash. It was just really weird. It got popped out of there.
Great
job by you continuing your answer.
I figured you were coming back in.
I'm out. All right. So I would say that I think that we see.
What do you think about that? I mean, as far as, like you mentioned, the Todd Bowles, the Caldwells, who else is Leslie Frazier, Daboll, some of these coaches that are not as TV magnetic and as, you know, loud and vocal or you know, doing all these interviews. Yes, right. Boisterous or what have you, versus some of these other, you know, coaches.
Yeah.
That have more, you know, reputation. Because it's hard to argue with the way Leslie Frazier's defense is playing. Oh, by the way, without Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
The fact that they have been, you know, holding that together, losing their top corner, I believe, I don't know, what is it, week 12 or week whatever, he went down.
And they've still been good during the stretch, right? I think a lot might depend, honestly, on this weekend. And that maybe that seems, I don't know if that seems obvious or not, but one, you're going to have, like, if let's say the Chiefs win, you know, Eric Bieniemy's going to be probably, you know, tough luck for another year, you know, just because if the Chiefs go to, if somebody goes to the Super Bowl, it's just harder. You know, I think teams are like, don't want to try and wait out and miss out on other stuff. So like Eric Bieniemy, maybe he's out of luck, or maybe he ends up going to Denver if they really like him, you know, Colorado guy. But like if the Bills win and beat the Chiefs, and like the Bills defense holds Patrick Mahomes to, you know, 20 points or something like that, I think there's a really good chance that Leslie Frazier ends up getting a job, just because people are going to say, wow, like, look at what they are doing, you know, without Trey White, you know, the way that they're coached up. Same thing, you know, Todd Bowles in that divisional round, or I mean, the wild card round, excuse me, against, I know Philadelphia, not a very good team in hindsight, but like he was just effing with Jalen Hurts' mind and Nick Sirianni's like game plan. He was dropping Vita Vea into coverage. You know, he was sending all kinds of pressures, and like the Eagles had no idea what they were doing. And you see that something like that happen, and you're like, all right, like maybe Todd Bowles does need another shot. If Todd Bowles comes to coach your team, your defense is gonna, if you have defensive pieces, it's gonna be good. Like, he's a great defensive coach.
Well, and the thing about Todd Bowles is that he relishes that. Like, he's so quiet. And when he used to be the head coach of the Jets, I would always call him Steel Jaw Todd, you know, because he had that, you know, strong jaw that they were showing on the sideline.
He's like sneaky funny and also like kind of a smack talker. Like, he just doesn't love the, like, doing the media stuff. And
outgoing. He thinks the questions are dumb. But he's
not wrong most of the time.
Yeah. but he loves, you know, just holding stuff back during a regular season, unleashing stuff. And that you mentioned how they were toying with Jalen Hurts, and they took their foot off the gas in the middle of that game they totally did. So he relishes that opportunity to bring it when everybody is watching or what have you. And if he can have another gauntlet run similar to what they did in the postseason last year, where they went through, what was it? who were the three quarterbacks. It was Breeze, it was Rodgers, and the three quarterbacks that they defeated all the way
to Mahomes.
Right, and to the Super Bowl. You know, again,
if they make another deep run like that, and the Bucs have to lean on their defense because for whatever reason, like Brady's just not putting up big numbers again, mm-hmm. then there's a very, very good chance that Todd Bowles will get a head coaching job. So that's what I'm sort of saying is like, you know, if the Rams offense gets shut down this weekend, then, you know, Todd Bowles' name is going to shoot up. So likewise, if the 49ers go and just run the ball like crazy all over Green Bay, you're going to see Mike McDaniel's name, you know, sort of shoot up the list of what people are interested in. Same thing if, you know, D'Amico Ryans, as you point out, if the 49ers
lock down their performance against Green right. Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that the quarterbacks and the teams involved in this divisional round are so significant with these matchups that you could really see one or two of these coaches sort of vault themselves up. Like, you know, Buffalo has a great game plan on offense. Josh Allen beats the Bills, and Brian Daboll should get some more love.
I'm telling you, I'm just something telling me, talking to me about that 49ers game, you know, with that defense. The only and I would say the only caveat is Jimmy Garoppolo and the right shoulder injury that he suffered in the second quarter against the Cowboys and what have you. But just yesterday, Garoppolo said he was feeling fine right now. Mike McDaniel said he's not concerned about it. I was at the two games ago, I was in LA when everyone was like, oh, is Jimmy G going to play? He comes out and they started off shaky, but finished really, really strong and definitive yep. in that game. So, and he has that confidence of a quarterback who has been to the Super Bowl before. And I tell you, you know, mentally, when you get to these pressure games, that is a lot to be able to rely on. We saw the complete unraveling of a Kyler Murray when you don't have those experiences to rely on. So this is really kind of teeing up for the things that I'm talking about to happen with the 49ers. So we'll see.
All right. So in other words, coaching news will come slowly, it appears, because a lot of these candidates are still in the playoffs.
Oh, but
keep an eye on what these guys do this weekend, because it will certainly affect their
perceptions.
Their perception of them in the job market. All right, Justina, as always, a pleasure. We have four games this weekend, and then we will be down to four teams left.
Please tell the people who run your airport in your state, if there's any ice that comes, to not freak out again.
Okay? That's right. Yeah, good luck with that.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.